This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hey guys, it's Maria here with Zach, and we're back from a little hiatus.
Hi everybody.
I know it's been a long time. We had a lot of different career things to sort out, and it's been a little bit of a journey.
So long story short, we had a we started the podcast like around the holidays or before that, like fall, winter, and then we fell off the face of the earth. You know, basically because we were gonna do something together, you know, as far as career goes, but yeah, so basically we just decided not to do that, at least for now. I don't think we were ready for it. Who knows what'll happen, but you know, I took a design studio job, and I'm illustrating, you know, freelance illustration graphic design on the side while I'm UX UI during the day for a cool studio, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that in future episodes. And Maria is doing UX work, right? For a software company.
Yeah, working for a software company, designing their app interfaces and also a couple websites for them.
Oh yeah, good things are happening, but you know, long story short, you know, I graduated almost a year ago today, and you know, I wanted to do this for the rest of my life, and I didn't know if anyone was going to hire me to do it. And I met Maria, and we're dating, if you don't know. And I was like, let's start a studio together because I don't know if I'm going to get hired to do this. And so we did that for a while, and I'm getting hired to do it. And I think I want to do that because I want to learn and get an experience and, you know, work with somebody else for at least a few years. And so I could kind of figure out, you know, the trade before I even try to kind of go full-time on my own again or even look to run something full-time. So, yeah.
There is definitely a big value in that. I work semi-in-house for this company, and it's it gives you discipline, it challenges you, and you get exposed to a variety of things. It's just really good to learn how other people are running their business and strengths and weaknesses. And we're actually going to tie that into our topic today, which is creating value, and that's something that creatives struggle with in general.
It could be like one of the biggest things we struggle with. I know. Oh, I do.
Yeah.
You know, so I like I said, I'm freelancing, you know, off the clock, I guess after the 9 to 5. And anytime I get asked, you know, to do a job, I'm like, I still hesitate, like, oh, what do I charge? Oh man. You know, so I think about it still. And you know, I know there's people that are younger than me and maybe a little less experienced that have, like, I'm even more scared about it.
It's pretty terrifying. Sometimes when someone asks you, like, especially if it's not something that you normally have cataloged for something that you do, like, oh, how much do you charge? Like, it feels like you're a deer in headlights and you just freeze up sometimes and you're like, oh man, how much do I charge? And then you freak out like, oh, I don't want to like lose this client because I asked for too much because I took that risk. But then if you charge too little, there's so many repercussions as well.
Well, I think maybe that's the first problem. And we all experience this is fear. Afraid of losing the client. Afraid of not making the money, right? You know, not getting enough work. Of course, this is real life. We want to get paid doing the work that we want to do. You know, assuming that you're listening to this podcast because you're interested in making money and as a creative. So yeah, we're not stupid. We need to make money, but we can't let fear guide our, you know, path to financial success, I guess.
Yeah, agreed. It's a struggle too, especially when you're kind of coming from a place where you're used to like doing some stuff for free or really discounted because you're young and you're a student and you just want to build your portfolio. Like sometimes it's hard to transition out of that type of state of mind and into like a professional, you know, hey, you know, I want you to value me and my work kind of mindset.
Well, to sidetrack a little bit, Rio, I know one of the reasons why you want to talk about this particular topic was because there are some websites that are irking you.
Yes. Oh man, here we go. So, the thing I noticed the other day when I was browsing through Freelancer
was Freelancer.com.
Yeah, Freelancer.com. You can go on there and bid on jobs for a variety of different industries. But I just kind of signed up a few weeks ago, and I was just kind of browsing to see what's new. And honestly, it was kind of shocking to see what people were like willing to pay for really complicated stuff. Like I saw people who wanted an entire web rebrand and an app design for $30 or like, you know, this whole like, just, I mean, unbelievable tasks for very small amounts of money.
So you feel that's too low, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I disagree with you. I obviously agree with you, but I guess the question is why? And that's, well, you know, we're talking about the value. So why is that more valuable?
Yeah. Well, first of all, these projects take a lot of time. They take a lot of thought, planning, strategy, and skill. And you can't feed yourself off of $30 with something that's taking a huge chunk of your time.
So in other words, even if you were charging minimum wage, let's say,
yeah,
that's still not enough, right? So, yeah. So I think the reason why I started to interrupt you, Maria, but I think, let's think about the math and how other people get paid to do their work. Mm-hmm. So let's say when we go the minimum wage, I know that's a big hot topic in America right now, but let's say what's the minimum wage right now, $7-$8, let's say. Mm-hmm. Let's say it even goes up to 10.
10 for where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe, yeah. So yeah, we're in California, so it's 10, right? So that means that you are saying that for $30, you only get 3 hours of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me, right, that project's probably going to take more than 3 hours.
Could take weeks, could take months for some of these things that they're going to pay, right, $30 for. Even a logo design. They're like, here's $20. Make me a very creative logo. That was actually one of the, like, that the verbiage that they used. And I was like, you want someone to come up with this really cool concept and you want to give them $30. Like, you can't have it all. Like, and that's a huge struggle that you have trying to convey that to clients, people who are not in our industry. They don't understand. Some people think we just like wave a Photoshop wand and magically everything happens because everything's automated. Like, they don't really understand the process, and that can be hard to convey sometimes.
Well, I think one problem is that the problem is that people are doing it, obviously. I mean, so when you go on, it's not a freelancer's fault. I mean, I think they're creating a great platform. Same thing with Upwork and a couple other, you know, freelance websites that are giving us the opportunity to find work. But obviously people are using this and setting these prices because there's someone in, you know, around the world or even stateside that's willing to do this for $30, whether it's maybe a student or someone that just got out of being a student, or, you know, somewhere internationally where $30 gets stretched a lot further, maybe where they're living than where we're living. So the value is definitely being perceived as going down, yeah, because people are doing it for $30.
Or $5 on Fiverr.
That's a whole other story.
You
so
know, yeah.
So it goes back, I guess, to, you know, Maria, the title that you have for this episode, Creating Value. What that title means to me is, how do we create value? How do we say to people that what we do is worth more than $30? Yeah, because in America, it's all about ROI, you know, return on investment. So that's what we have to convince people, right?
Right. Well, here's an example of like how I like to approach, because I love branding design. Just coming up with the whole brand. I've even come up with names before for people and woven into the logo and all of their branding elements. And the way I like to pitch that is, this brand, if it's good, will make you money. It'll make you competitive with other brands. It'll attract an audience. People will respect you more because they see that you've put the time into looking like you're legitimate. If you look kind of janky and like, you know, had your cousin just do something real quick, it definitely diminishes how people see you. So I try to pitch it like, this is going to bring more business to you because you're going to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, I think that's one way to kind of, you know, project value or to showcase return on investment. But what else?
Well, first of all, having confidence in yourself, because people can read that. So if, I mean, it's hard to see that on Freelancer because it's all, you know, digital. But if you're in person and you're trying to, you know, convince a client to hire you, having that confidence, kind of they subconsciously pick up on that and they know who they can manipulate and who they can't. And sometimes you may not get that client because they know they can't manipulate you. And you might be frustrated or sad that you didn't get it, but it might actually turn out to be better you didn't get it because they are reading you just like you're reading them.
Right. I think at the end of the day is, I think what you're trying to say is like, well, one thing I think you were trying to get at is like, you got to value yourself, right? First of all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one thing that we're not always doing as artists or illustrators or any kind of, we're not valuing ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I mean, the topic we're talking about today is definitely more on the commercial art side than the creative, you know, than the fine art side for sure. But I mean, I think that's a really big hurdle. I think a lot of creators have to get over. And there's a transition going on right now, you know, in the business world, and especially the startup world and the business in the corporate world, where design and illustration and even some levels of art are not just being seen for art, they're being seen as business tools, tools of communication. Mm-hmm. So this is a good time for creatives because they really are starting to get valued at a macro level. And, you know, just because some of the small businesses and individuals aren't keeping up with that trend doesn't mean we should cater to them. Mm-hmm. They, you know, so small businesses have always been a little bit behind, I think, when it comes to creative trends and business trends even. So just because they are doesn't mean we say, oh, well, for you, we will do the $30 logo. Now, they need to understand that this is valued.
Yeah, if people keep propagating, like, this type of thought process where you can convince someone to do a really high-level project for $30, that's not going to help the industry at all. And it's hard, too, because you're competing on an international market. And that's kind of where Fiverr thrives, for example, because it's a lot of people who $5 there is like way more than it is here. You can't even get a hamburger for $5 here. So,
but if, for me, I don't think those, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I don't think those are bad. I don't think it's bad.
Well, they're gateways for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know if that's all you think you're worth, and if that's all the value you're offering and that's all the return on investment you're offering, then $5 is perfect. $30 is perfect. So what you need to do is you need to convince yourself first, and you need to convince, secondly, your client that what you're offering is worth more than $30. So let's say you charge, you know, we charge all over the place. I don't want to get into specific numbers unless you want to. But like, let's say you charge $500 for a logo. I'll just throw a number out there. Then you need to be telling your client that you're going to get $1,500 back in return for investing $500 into your logo. Right. So, you know, for me, you know, I'm mostly an illustrator, but like I said, I do UX UI during the day. So when I approach any job, whether it's illustration or UX UI, is, you know, how am I creating value for my client? So as an illustrator, it means taking bits of information and being able to communicate that visually, and that's going to create value for my client, value for the my client's customers or user base. You know, for if it's UX UI, it's more, you know, making a great experience for not just my client but my client's user base. You know, so that's the key. You know, so for a lot of small businesses, I think Fiverr and freelance could be a good way to go because they might only need a logo, or they definitely think that, but maybe it's true. Maybe their standards of value aren't as high. And if it's not, or if their value standards aren't that high, then that's okay. Then they're not for you. you know, if you want to charge more than that, then you have to not be afraid to say no. And I think that's another topic you wanted to cover, right?
Yeah. So you have to decide, like, where you're at in your life, like, how your portfolio is. Like, these are kind of things people take into consideration. I find that, like, when we're, like, first starting out, like, we're more likely to do, like, a very discounted project. In turn, that we have a little more creative freedom with it so we can put it in our portfolio. But as you start to build your presence, your time becomes very tight because you want to take on more projects. And so you have to kind of relate it to how much time you have. Is it going to help you, or are you going to have that pit in your stomach while you're doing it? Like, why did I take this project? And another huge thing is, how is the client treating you? What kind of terminology are they using to describe the project? How are they acting? You know, are they respecting you when you're talking to them for the very first time? You can pick up a lot of this stuff.
Well, I have a couple things to say to that. The first one is that be professional right off the bat. And I think one of the biggest mistakes creatives make, especially design professionals, visual communication professionals, they don't have a brief. They don't have a questionnaire. They don't do a proposal. They don't create an organized timeline of what to expect. When are the deliverables? When are things due? You know, they don't have a well-designed invoice. So they don't present themselves as professional. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's definitely... Great point. Because that's a great way to filter out bad clients right there. So they don't know what they want. They have a low budget. There's plenty of ways to kind of create some red flags based off early professionalism and organization. You know, so you might not be inexperienced as a creative. You know, I'm definitely maybe mid-level at best when it comes to experience, but I could present myself with a high level of professionalism, and it doesn't need, you don't need a lot of experience to do that. You know, and part of going to my next point, part of being a professional to me is being able to say no. And I know it's one of the biggest hurdles, especially for new designers, is saying, no, we are not a good fit. Don't need to be a jerk about it. You don't need to say, like, oh, you know, F off, you know, to a client, a potential client. Just say, hey, I don't think we're a good fit. Here's what I recommend. You know, I know someone that could be a better fit, or try this service, etc. But say no, it's okay.
Agreed. That's a great set of points you had there. I think definitely having a presence. That's a, you know, like, don't let them intimidate you. Sometimes people get intimidated by your professionalism. And it's not like a contest to see who could intimidate one another more, but really, like, that, like, taking the time to build your brand is actually showing respect for yourself.
If I'm intimidating a client by setting a professional tone, then again, it's probably not a client you want. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a client that should go to Fiverr, mm-hmm, or Freelancer or Upwork. You know, because they don't want a partnership. They don't want a professional relationship. They want a little artist guy or girl to make a fame for them fast and cheaply. And I'm going to play, like, a little bit of devil's advocate and say I'm not against that arena necessarily, but I am aware that it does overall devalue the community. But even to counter that point, I'm countering myself, that just because that arena exists doesn't mean you have to shoot to play in that arena. You don't have to be a Fiverr designer or a freelancer.com designer. But you have to set the standards for yourself. You know, part of it, obviously, is to be good at what you do. If you don't feel that you're good enough at what you do, like, technically, as far as the skills of your craft, Maria and I talk about this all the time. We'll get to do it every day. Put in the work. You know, I post stuff on Dribbble, Instagram, and other places. Probably, I'm sure some people that are listening to this think I do it too much, and I maybe do, but I do it every day. It's my way of, you know, working and getting better, and I make some bad stuff along the way, but I know I'm getting better as a result. So I know I kind of did a sidetrack there, but my point is that don't let even your lack of experience and maybe even even a little bit skill right now deter you from being professional and valuing yourself. Because the experience, the skill, as long as you're working hard, will come. If you show up every day and you work hard, those two things will come. But professionalism should happen day one. Valuing yourself should happen day one.
Yeah, and when you're valuing yourself, like when a client is calling you up and is interviewing multiple designers to, let's say, design a logo, and they really like your work, but then someone undercuts you, just rest assured that it was supposed to happen that way. Like if you're not valuing yourself, you're not going to walk away from those situations, and you're going to keep ending up in this like repetitive loop of getting stuck with people who don't respect you. And Zach and I have a lot of personal experience, and we've also observed people we've worked with fall into this and kind of get stuck in a certain spot, unable to progress in their career or expanding their business. I know Zach has seen this quite
often. Yeah. Well, just with, I see it. I wouldn't say I've seen it firsthand. Mm-hmm. I haven't. I mean, of course, I've experienced it personally when I first started out. I still think I undercharged sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I definitely undercharged, while I was still in school, I'm a student, so I'm going to do this for like almost nothing. And, basically I started to realize this was a big like wake up call for me when I had this like epiphany. And it's just a fact. The smaller the budget, usually the worse the client. It doesn't mean like bad attitude or like, of course it means that sometimes they'll be a jerk to you or be mean to you. That's part of it. But in general, the more bad things will happen with a weaker budget, just because we're talking about Western capitalism here, and money and value, unfortunately or unfortunately not, correlate. In other words, the more money someone's willing to invest in you, the nicer they're probably going to be. They expect more, for sure, and you got to be able to deliver, but they respect you because they've invested more in you financially. So in other words, there's value that automatically gets added to the project and to you based on what they're willing, a client, I should say, is willing to invest in you financially.
Yep. And setting a precedent, once you reach a point where you can feel confident in your work too, once you set that precedent, it'll help when you're getting referrals for them to recommend like people to you. So you might end up getting a series of similar clients who do respect you and are willing to pay, just like you would get a series of clients who don't respect you and don't want to pay.
I completely agree with that. Just like in your portfolio, you show the work you want to do because that's what you want to get paid for, and then if you work with bad clients, you're most likely going to keep working with bad clients because that's how you're going to, referrals are a big part of what we do. So bad clients are going to refer you to more bad clients usually. So just right off the gate, say you graduate, everyone's graduating, this month, right? May, June. So graduated high school, graduated college, whatever you're doing academically, you're about to finish that. So you're just starting out. Don't worry, but be professional and value yourself. How much do you want to make an hour? You want to make it, let's say you at least want to make the minimum wage. I think you should charge more than that, but let's just say you want to do that. Make sure that's at least what you're getting. There's too many freelancers out there that are making, that charge so low, they're making less than the minimum wage. There are people out there doing retail jobs and construction jobs, whatever, and I have no disrespect to people that are doing it. I did that. I know you've done that in the past, mm-hmm. obviously. Yep. There's nothing wrong with that, but you went to school. You want to make more money. You feel that you value yourself. So value yourself and be professional. Charge what you think you're worth. It's that simple.
Absolutely. And, it's amazing that when you start to have this shift in the way you're thinking about yourself, like your whole life will improve with that. Just general having positivity in yourself and your work and believing in yourself is going to take you far in a number of areas. And generally, I think, imagine not having the stress of someone literally dehumanizing you, because they're paying you so low and they're taking up so much of your time. You're like, how am I going to eat this month? Imagine when that's gone and you're thriving and you're taking on only clients that you want to work with.
Well, to sidetrack a little bit, I'm going to propose an argument. Mm-hmm. I'm going to argue that you should dehumanize yourself a little bit. And here's what I mean. If you haven't read the War of Art yet, and you're a creator, go right. Stop listening to this podcast. Press pause. Go to the nearest bookstore and go buy this book and start reading it. I mean, there's been so many creatives that I look up to. Excuse me. Sorry. That read this book. Yeah, have read this book, and it's amazing. And Stephen Pressfield is the one that wrote it, and he brought up a specific point where, you know, when you file taxes and you do a DBA, whatever, you stop becoming you, and you start becoming You Inc. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that you are dehumanizing yourself, because now it's not about you personally, it's about business. Mm. And that's the point I'm trying to make. So stop thinking of yourself as just this little old person, you know, that needs to avoid eating enough of the ramen and paying the bills, saying, I'm a business. Treat your freelance business. You're not a freelancer, you're a business. You know, so when I do my work, both with the studio I work with, because we're a small studio, there's only six of us, and when I do work as a freelancer, I always think this is a business. It's nothing personal when I charge X amount of money or I do this thing to get this in return. It's a business. So when I sell t-shirts, stickers, whatever I like to do, yeah, it's because I enjoy doing it. There's a personal touch, and I might give a little bit of a discount to a friend, like I give a coupon code or whatever, but it's business at the end of the day. We're all out here, especially if you live in America, we're all here to make money. So treat yourself as a business. It's nothing personal. It's about value. A good business has good value.
Agreed. I mean, that was perfect. Yeah.
First of all, that probably was not perfect. And I'm far, far from perfect. Like, I was in school forever. Like, forever. Like, all my 20s, basically. Figuring out what kind of creative thing I wanted to do. And I only recently graduated. Like, a year ago. So I'm not saying I have all the answers and I'm wildly successful. I'm not there yet. And that's probably something for another podcast. But there's no, like, arriving. There's no there to get to, in my opinion. But if there is a there, I'm not there. I'm definitely not there. Same but here. Yeah, you know, but I had to think of experiencing something, and I'm super in love with my craft and I'm obsessed about it. Yeah, so I can share what I've learned through this obsession. So I don't think it's perfect. But I know I care a lot. I know I value what I do because I love what I do. Because what I do is there's so many good people, cool and awesome, doing this. So I know there's value to it.
Yep. There's a lot of cool people out there. And you get to learn from a lot of... just like look in your community, ask around, see what people have gone through. Because honestly, personal experience and learning from others' experiences can... As long as you're studying your life and you're studying those experiences and applying them, you can avoid a lot of these issues for prolonged periods of time.
And I also want to say that it's okay to start small or even maybe do something pro bono. I know that's crazy, but there's still value in that. And my point is, I'm not saying you should go do pro bono for a company that has a ton of money and just wants to treat you like crap, but maybe you could do a flyer for free for a nonprofit, like a soup kitchen, like some really like a good cause, you know, just to get maybe to start getting things rolling for you. Or maybe you could do something for a family member and like, okay, well, you're not going to charge your Uncle Joe a crap ton of money, you know, excuse my French, because he's Uncle Joe. So I'm not saying that there's like high paying clients going to fall out of trees and just start paying you as long as you're professional. You do have to start somewhere. But if you start out with the standard of personal value and high level professionalism, whether it's $1 million budget or it's pro bono, then you're setting the right habits to create consistent value for your clients and they will pay you accordingly.
Agreed. And there's a like some sort of middle ground. If you're still starting out, you you need some money, but you're willing to reduce the cost. You can, if a client, like, you like them, they're cool, they're respectful, but like they don't have a lot of money, but you like what they're doing, you can also accommodate like what you're giving them for the money that they're, you're charging them, like that within their budget. Like, and Zach and I have done this a couple times where, you know, we'll kind of, okay, well, what do you really need? Like, how many renditions, like, this is how many renditions, you know, we'll give you for this cost. Like, so it's a middle ground between pro bono and, like, totally blowing them off. Like,
I don't think you should ever, unless they're just being total jerks, quote unquote, completely blow them off, try to work with them. But even the nicest people, you might say, hey, you know, we really tried to make this budget work with what you want. I just don't think we're a good fit. Yeah. But you're really nice, and I think I know a designer that might work for you. Or like, yeah, maybe, you know, Fiverr, I don't think provides the same kind of value I can provide, but it'll provide you something for sure. And yeah, for, you know, we live in a small suburban town north of LA, and I bring that up because there's tons of businesses that honestly all they do need is a $5 logo, and it's okay. Tons of small businesses, but maybe that's not what you're shooting for, and you shouldn't shoot for that. Maybe you want to do, for me, I'm shooting for doing editorial illustrations for magazines, newspapers, and advertisements. You know, like advertising illustration. When I work for my job, and I do love my day job as well, I'm very fortunate. We're trying to get, you know, clients that really care about their UX process, that want to weave their brand strategy with their digital strategy. You know, so what are you shooting for? You're not even shooting to get, you know, the small business client anyway, I'm hoping. I mean, if you are, that's fine, but then be okay with charging a little less.
And yeah, and stand up for yourself, you know, too. I mean, I will say from my personal experience, the vast majority of people that I gave really low rates to when I was first starting out treated me very poorly. I only had a couple that treated me well.
That's going to happen 100%. Yeah. I really do believe
it's very hard to avoid when you're first starting
out. Just, and I'm just saying this based off of experience for me. And I've heard other people say this, but just me. I was like, oh, okay, maybe that, I don't know. But no, it's true. Every bad client that I've ever worked with has usually came with a low budget. Not usually, actually. Every time. And I don't mean bad client like they were bad people. I'm just saying it's bad, just a bad situation, a bad relationship. Because to me, if you're only... If they're only looking to pay you $5 or $30, they don't want a relationship with you. They don't want a partnership with you, obviously. You know, and that doesn't make them bad people. But if you want to, you know, make a little bit more money and do this, thrive doing this, you know, whatever you do, what you creatively for a living, and you want to thrive doing it, I'm assuming you do want a partnership. You want to provide, you care about what they do. You want to provide a real value. To me, I think the best designers, illustrators, artists, even musicians have a good relationship. Musicians have a good relationship with their audience. You know, designers have a good relationship with their clients, same thing with illustrators. You know, so I think if you try to create and foster an atmosphere of partnership and collaboration, then I think, and again, I'm not an expert, but I think the money will come. I think they will want to give you the money because they see value in what you do, because they see value in you. But you can't, you know, provide that value if you don't see yourself as valuable first.
Yeah, that's like almost a spiritual like thing that you gotta solve. Really, you know, we're getting deep. No, but it's true though. Like, if you look at most successful people, the first thing you're gonna notice is like their attitude, their energy, and like a lot of them don't take crap from people. So but you have to build up to get there, to get comfortable, to get in that place where you feel confident. So it's a process. So don't beat yourself up if you do end up with a couple you know, bad clients that
it's going to happen. Yeah, guaranteed. Even
you'll learn a lot. You'll definitely learn a lot, you know.
Well, and that goes to another point, you know. Don't be afraid to fire a client too. Like, you started a relationship, you started a project, have it involved in your, again, going back to being professional, have it stipulated in your contract, have it stipulated in your agreement that, hey, I could fire you. You could fire me, obviously, but I could fire you if this is not going well. You know, if certain things aren't panning out the way we agree that it would pan out. So yeah, say no, but also be able to say you're fired too. And it's not, don't abuse this. Don't say no all the time and don't fire people left and right for whatever reason to make yourself feel strong. You're just setting professional precedence for yourself, a professional standard, saying that, yes, I'm going to create these things for you, but they're valuable. And because they're valuable, you have to respect me. You have to respect my time.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, this has helped you guys out a little bit. With Creative Honey, we're just hoping to basically help you through your professional journey. We're still going through it ourselves, and we're learning lessons.
We're
and
we in the thick of it.
Yeah, like really, really we are. it's not easy. But
I don't want to pretend like I'm really, really just getting started individually. I'm definitely just getting started, and our studio is doing really well, but it's a small studio, you know. So, you know, I'm not working for a 100-person agency, and you know, I am definitely not the illustrator I want to be yet, and I don't know if I ever want to arrive, but I definitely know I haven't gotten into the big newspaper yet. I've gotten a few magazines and stuff like that, so it's rolling, it's getting there, but no, we're giving you. We're kind of giving you our feedback based on our personal experiences and what we listen to and what we read. I listen to podcasts every day, literally, and I read. And you know, I'm not trying to say I'm a know-it-all, but I'm just, you know, my point is that we're telling you what we're picking up. I don't know if it's always wrong or right, but yeah.
But, you know, we just want to convey them to you anyway, because if you can learn a few things from what we've experienced, maybe you don't have to go through it as bad, or maybe you can, maybe something will click for you. Maybe for us, it didn't click as quickly. So, but we just always want to be honest and give you our experiences and hopefully provide value for you, because we know being creative has a lot of ups and downs. But hopefully, since you love it, doing what you're doing, you know, you're willing to weather those and just make smart decisions and make decisions that are healthy for you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. On a similar note, do you want to tell our, I'm sure, esteemed and growing audience where they could find us on social media and in the webs and all that stuff?
Yeah, you can find us on our actual personal social media accounts. Zach, you want to go first?
Well, you can find me at zrhill.com. Yeah, that's my website. And Zachary R. Hill on Instagram, Twitter. Find me there. Let's talk. Dribble. I'm on Dribble. I'm always willing to like meet people and talk to people, especially online. I'll be honest with you. I'm like kind of an introvert, in the real world. And maybe that's something we could talk about in another podcast episode. But social media, I'll be your best friend. I'm very comfortable in that environment. So find me there and let's chat and, you know, push up each other's work and stuff like that. What about you, Maria?
Yeah, I'm on Dribble also. I have a really long last name.
She does, it's true.
I'm unsure if you'll be able to find me. Opa! But I don't know if you'll be able to find me as easily as Zachary Hill or ZR Hill.
Well, we could put it in the show notes on the blog and the podcast.
It's Maria Buyukos with a silent G. So if you're ever wondering how it sounds, that's how it is. But I also have a Dribble and a Twitter, which is just my first and last name, both of those. So,
and the studio that I work for, we're actually in the middle of a rebrand, and when we finally get all the little tweaks and little things kind of ready to go, I'll maybe next week or the week after tell you about the studio I work for, because I think we're doing some cool things too.
Oh yeah, I love their new branding. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Really excited for you guys. Yeah, we're trying. They have a couple really cool projects that they're working on for themselves. Yeah. And it's cool. And Zach's been doing, he's been the one kind of creating the new elements and putting his own flair into those. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, I'm doing what I can.
Yeah. We're hoping in the near future to have a place that for Creative Honey, so website and a blog.
I'll come soon for sure.
Zach is going to be writing, articles for us. So that's really cool. Look forward to that. He'll be illustrating, for every episode. So look forward to those little tidbits, with everyone that, we launch. And we're looking forward to any feedback or comments you have, any questions, anything that you want us to cover in future podcasts. We do have an email creativehoney.info@gmail.com.
There you go.
So, or you could just tweet us or whatever.
Yeah.
Just shoot us a message, friend us on Facebook, and
cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll see you again. We'll talk to you again
they
soon.
Probably won't see us at all.
Probably
they'll
not.
Probably just hopefully listen to us.
Maybe they have some
social media and stuff.
So maybe you'll see us that way. But
yeah,
we'll talk to you guys again soon. Hope everyone has a great week.
All right.